If you hear me speaking like this, that means we have hit a different kind of episode, because this is How to Freizeitpark Abroad. And you might be surprised that hearing, huh, How to Freizeitpark Abroad, isn't this a separate channel? No, it's not anymore. I had to rethink the whole situation about having two different channels, two different release cycles, and I realized very quickly that that's not doable. It's not realistic, it's not healthy, to be honest, to have so much pressure and the work and kind of a private life around it. So what I'm doing now is re-releasing some of the old episodes from How to Freizeitpark Abroad, which means that there are some re-released interviews I've done in the past, but also the upcoming English interviews will be under the headline of How to Freizeitpark Abroad, which means that there will be here and there a language switch, but it doesn't mean that there won't be any How to Freizeitpark native episodes anymore. There was a comment on the past that somebody was listening to my episodes, especially the German ones, the original ones, and said, well, it's much easier for me to understand, and he finds it difficult to enjoy and relax, because he and I can imagine that if you're not used to it, you need to get used to hear a different language. So I really do understand this, and I thank you so much for your comment. And I will be focusing on German episodes in the future. This has been in the past as well, and so this won't be a big cultural switch. But here and there, there are so many amazing people, amazing stories to tell, that we have to switch into a different language. So bear with me, this will be interesting, I promise you. But nevertheless, how to Freizeitpark Abroad, welcome to this new episode. My name is Stefan Burian. I'm a freelancing operations consultant for operations themes, HR and guest experience. So if you are experiencing in your attraction of any kind in size that the efficiency is not on that level you want to have, or you are struggling with your staff and you need to rethink your whole situation of how to train your staff, how to have your documentation ready, and you want to be more guest focusing, just hit me with an email, contact@stefanburian.com, or visit my website stefanburian.com. And today I have somebody on this show who works for theme park who I believe do not need so much external help, because they're doing pretty well, and they are a big player in the European attractions industry. I'm talking about the magical world of De Efteling in the Netherlands. If you have been to Efteling, I don't have to explain why it's so magical. If you're thinking about now about the park, I mean, you will literally have 1,000 things in your mind that's blowing your mind about the park. What I do often read or hear about the park, about what they are doing around or above or beyond the curtains, it's pretty stunning, because especially on themes like inclusion, on sustainability, on social responsibility, De Efteling is kind of a role model, I would say, to not be, how to say that in English, now we're struggling to find the right vocabulary. When they are doing so many good things, when we look about the inclusivity or inclusion or integration of people with special needs, you have like special shows for wheelchair users for the Madhouse Villa Volta. You have a VR extension of the dark ride Dromflucht, and they are doing so many things, and sometimes we don't speak so much about it, so I would like to change it. And this time I have Famke, in this podcast. She is working for Die Efteling. She is working especially for those sustainability themes or around it or with it. And I would like to invite you to this very exciting and interesting interview with Femke von Die Efteling. Enjoy. So what we do speak about is about operations, we speak about marketing, we speak about human resources, but all those topics are a little bit interconnected with one huge thing, which means or which leads to inclusion, to diversity, and also to sustainability. And there are so many solutions to different problems, but I think that there are some examples we have to speak about, especially when we talk about the leisure industry, because there are so many really good theme park operators out there leading by example with creative ideas to implement everybody in their experiences and also trying to make the best out of the world, if that's not too romantic or emotional. But today we will talk about sustainability, and we have somebody here from the Efteling today. And if you know the Efteling, if you don't know Efteling, I don't have to explain it to you. Just Google it up. It's pretty much one of the best theme parks we have in Europe. And today we have Femke here from Efteling. Hi, Femke.
Hello. Thank you. What a great introduction.
I try my best, especially in this situation today, but let's not talk about that. Femke, for all those people who don't know you, please explain what is your job role in the Efteling and why are those topics, sustainability and inclusion, are within your role?
Yes, my name is Femke van Es. I work for Efteling about 16 years now, I guess. I started as a communication advisor. That's what I studied. And nowadays, I am manager of the team we call MCO, and it stands for Environment, Society and Communication. It's a relative new department. It started last year in 2024. And within this team, we are responsible for everything we as Efteling do in the subject of sustainability. And sustainability in the largest way. So it's about our footprint. It's about being social. It's about governance. Everything. And this team is an inspirator, a motivator, sometimes the director of projects, because sustainability is all over Efteling as organization. But that's my role. And the department is about 12 people, partly communication advisors, communication people, and it's only the corporate communication, not the marketing department. That's another kind of story. But it's the corporate communication, and that's all the communication about topics that are not about being a theme park, being a fun factory, more about Efteling as an organization and the role we want to play in the society, in the region, all kind of that stuff.
Awesome. I mean, that's like a first world problem you have there, because I don't know many theme parks or leisure operators who have such kind of departments. So big question for me is now, why? why do you focus so much on that topic?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think as Efteling, we were founded by Efteling Foundation, a nature park foundation, Efteling Nature Park Foundation, and that foundation was already very much involved with the region over here, within nature. And that is in our roots, this taking care of nature, taking care of the society here. It's in our roots. It's partly our DNA. So in that time, that was in 1952, in that time, sustainability wasn't a trend or a hype or even a word I think they'd spoken about, but nowadays it is. And I think we grow as an organization from it's just normal to be evolved within yours in society and in the region and taking care of nature. We find that normal. But nowadays, we find it normal and we realize that it's very important for the future to stay relevant in the future. I think that's something the whole world is understanding right now. And there's so much more spoken about it than that days in the 1950. So I think we grow as an organization from it's just being normal to take care of everything around us. Then we make it really part of our vision, our strategy, our vision towards 2030. Sustainability is one of the pillars in there since 2018, I guess. And nowadays, next step was just to create a department that has full focus on this subject, because we realized that we are way more than just a fun factory. We are way more here in Holland and maybe even in the world. And that's a role we'd like to take responsibility for. And we strongly believe that it creates the success of the future of Efteling.
Awesome. That sounds pretty nice and pretty positive. I mean, when we look nowadays on the news, in the internet, social media, I often have the feeling that's like every day could be doomsday. We hit climate limits. I don't know, the capacity is reached, yada yada yada, political stuff and so on. So it's really nice to hear from you that you have like this positive view for the future and you want to push it forwards. I mean, of course, it's like a communication strategy, but when I see those things, there are oftentimes I think, well, that's just marketing. But on the other hand, what I see, and you mentioned it also, it's part of your roots, you really are practicing it. So what I'm interested in, how can you have this vision and break it down to the last person in line, like the frontliners on your attractions, F&B retail, to go with this vision? How does this big vision goes down into smaller chunks?
Yes, I think that's a challenge. I think that's a challenge because we are a theme park, an attraction park, and the things we most love, all co-workers of Efteling, most love to build new attractions. New rides, new fairy tales. That's what we love to do. But nowadays we do more. We're just not building one attraction, but we think about, is it inclusive enough? Can we make it sustainable? Can we make it maybe some little innovation in it? So it becomes more and more and more complex to build a new attraction in this world. And I think we try to bring sustainability and importance of sustainability to every co-worker just by telling stories, because that's what we're good at. We're good at storytelling. And we make, I think we make a difference between big projects, big sustainable projects, which costs a lot of money and they really contribute towards the sustainable goals we have, just the large projects. Most co-workers, they don't involved with these large projects. So you have to have small projects, small sustainable projects, and maybe they do not make that impact on the goals, or they do not make that great difference in the world, but they make a great difference in awareness. And those little projects, we find them just as important as the large projects. So it's all about awareness and making every coworker of Efteling proud of the organization we are, and that sustainability is so important to us. But that is a challenge, because we love to build attractions. We love that the most. And I always say that it is my goal that every coworker of Efteling is sitting on the birthday party and is telling with so much proud about something we do on sustainability side, just as proud as they can tell about new attractions that we open. But that is a challenge, yes. And it's all about telling stories, involve people, get them involved, get good ideas, inspire them, motivate them to bring ideas, even if they're really small ideas, and they maybe not make great impacts, but it makes an impact on awareness.
Yeah.
And even if it's a little gesture, but let's turn off the lights when we leave our office. Okay, if everybody is aware while we are doing that, I think that's a win.
Yeah, it's like having like a huge puzzle, and you have all those smaller pieces putting together to a bigger picture where you see, that's what we are going to, and that's what we are trying to achieve with our
And it's funny that you call it a puzzle. That's a metaphor I use all the time here inside, because I always say, which of you lays what kind of puzzle? I am the one who creates the puzzle, the picture. You can have the picture from me. I will get the largest picture, and everybody has to contribute one, how do I call it, one piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us that we know who is laying which piece, so we together can lay the big puzzle. So it's definitely working together. Everybody has to work together. You can't have one department like our department, because you say it's very special, maybe in the branch. It is, but we don't are, how do you call it? You can't ring and say, okay, let's do this in sustainability. Let's do this project. No, we have to do it together. We will help you. We will motivate you. We facilitate it. Maybe we can get some experts or maybe some finance, but we have to do it together. We can't do it just in our department, in the office alone.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's a team project, and it's a larger vision. So you have to pull some strings, and you have to maybe have to work like with other departments together to achieve something new. But we are already in the action, but let's go one step back, because the larger picture, that's what took my interest. When we speak about sustainability goals, everybody's saying, we want to get climate neutral till then and then. And Efteling comes around and says, in 2030, we are climate positive.
No, not that fast, but it is a goal.
Yeah, but what means climate positive?
What I think is that we all miss the point if we focus only on being climate neutral, or only at, I don't know. If we talk about sustainability, it's such a large scope of doing good for the world. It's not just the climate. It's also being inclusive, being diverse. And I think that whole picture has to be a positive picture. So you take care of your own, I call it shit sometimes, your own shit, just solve it. If you have some emissions, you have to compensate them. If you have some garbage waste, take care of it in a good way. But also look at how you are as an employee. Look at how you are a neighbor in your region. Look at how people who have a disability, how can they join in your party? And that is the most important. It has to be all the things together. So if we say we have to be climate positive, it's not really the climate. It's just having a positive impact in the society, in the environment. It's just an, how do I call it? Everything has to sum up, and then you have a positive impact instead of a negative impact. And if you focus just on one theme, like emissions, I think that's a shame, because you have a lot of topics that has to be positive in some kind of way. So that is what our dream is, to be climate positive. And I don't like the word climate in it. So it has to be more like, I don't know, impact positive or environment positive. It has to be inclusive, all the things that are important for a company in some kind of environment, in some kind of society.
That makes sense, yeah. I really like the idea that you have all those three pillars. And I mean, you have also, at the end of the day, it has to be economical on some point. Of course, I mean, you are a corporation, so you have to make on some point some money, but you only can reach this goal if you have all those pillars beneath it to back your revenue up. I mean, what I always appreciate is
that your park is so inclusive in so many ways, in so many creative ways, like the virtual reality solution for Traumflucht. It's just so simple, but yet effective, so that everybody can participate without even being there. That's so cool.
And I think that that's exactly where we can make the difference as leisure companies together, to make sure that everybody can participate, that everybody feels welcome to join the experience. And of course, I find reducing the footprint, good governance, I find it very important, but I think we can make a difference altogether in the social part, in make sure that everybody can join, that everybody can participate, because people go out for one day or maybe a couple of days, and they visit the attractions. But at the end of the day, it's more about the experience they have together, the day they were as a family, as a group of friends. You never go alone. You always are with some people, and the experience and the memories you make, and everybody can join in the group. That is so much more important than just visiting one attraction.
Yeah, if we are coming back to the environmental aspect, what I'm interested in is because when I try to compare the Netherlands with Germany, there's a huge gap, especially when it comes to emissions, about environmental protection. There was this thing, especially in the German fan community a couple of years ago, that I hope I remember the headline correctly, that you weren't allowed to have your bonfires during the winter opening because the emissions of the year, the budget, was already reached. So that's you can't we how don't have that in Germany, you know. If you have want to have a bonfire, yeah, just burn, just go for it, just pollute the air. So is there like a huge support by the government that you are not forced, but that you are supported to do those actions?
I think not. I think we don't have that much obligations. We are a little bit in a zone between governments right now, so it's a little bit complicated now.
All right.
But I think that forcing organizations to be sustainable, it can help, because then organizations will try to do better. But I strongly believe that it has to be some motivation of yourself. And I think as Efteling, we are lucky. We are lucky to have just one stakeholder. It's our founder, and it's about the long-term success of Efteling and not short-term making profits. So we can make other decisions than maybe some of our colleagues can. Because long-term decisions are, for us, they are good to make. And I know that's not for everybody, but we are kind of a steward ownership. So being here, being successful, staying relevant, and giving Efteling as an organization, giving it successfully to the next generation, that's our goal. And that's another goal than making as much profit as we can, because that's not the goal. The goal is to make profit, to stay, to reassure your existence, and make Efteling a little bit better every day. But
Yeah,
that's it. And so
I
we
love
have
that.
a maybe a special kind of organization form.
Yeah, I love that you said staying relevant, because when just comes to my mind when I look at other corporations or companies who are struggling with those topics, like the automobile industry in Germany. We have every day those discussions with the emissions. What's it called? That we are not allowed to have new fuel-driven cars by 2030. And you see that their revenue is declining because they are not going with the time. And if you're not going with the time, you are going with time and you're gone from the market. So staying relevant means also that you're staying successful, staying with the new world because everything is changing faster every day. And yeah, you have to keep up. And
Yes,
what
and
I've
there's a new generation, and a new generation expects other things from organizations, and we can think, we'll see about that later, but later is now, and
Yeah, later
the
is
next
now. I like
generation,
that. Yeah.
later is now, and the next generation is already within our employee group. There are the new journalists from the media, which are asking questions about how do you, what do you do more than just being a theme park? What do you add to the world? What kind of positive impact, not just negative impact, what kind of positive impact do you make? The new generation is in politics. So it's not just the new generation as a customer. No, it's the new generation is everywhere, and I have three little children, and they find it very normal that we take care of environment and society. And maybe they learn it a little bit from me, but they just learn it from their peers and they're in school. And it's another view to look at the world.
Later is no. I like that a lot, and I mean when we talk about new generations, Gen Z. I don't know if you have those discussions as well in Germany. There's often that discussion. No, Gen Z is lazy and they are not want to work anymore. I mean that's absolutely a stupid discussion in my opinion, because they are looking for purpose. What you mentioned, they want to have like everything has to make sense, and they want to leave the world better behind.
Yeah, and it's another perspective. And I think a generation discussion is not just nowadays with Gen Z. I think maybe when we were young or when I was young, there was a little discussion about what this generation is about. But it's just another perspective. And you don't have to, as an organization, you don't want to change because of the new generation is coming up. You just want to change because you feel the same when you get that point of view. I have to make change to be relevant. And I think a lot of organizations find that maybe difficult because it's new, it's doing something that you didn't did before. It's about changing. People don't like changing. We don't like change. So it's a natural thing that we have a little bit of a resistance, maybe.
Yeah, especially when you look into change management, you have that huge deep valley on some point, and I think sometimes it feels like we're not out of that valley, we are stuck in there, and change is difficult, but change is necessary, and it also gives us new innovative solutions for things we maybe have never thought about. I mean, that. When we go back to your theme park and we look into the actions that you're doing, especially on back to sustainability, being on an ecological point of view, you have solar everywhere, like almost everywhere on every building. It's such a nice maintained green space. I mean, other theme parks would die for such a natural area. So if we sum all those things up, what would you say is the in the past years, except of having your department there to focus on that topic, is the maybe the most important step that Efteling has done in his history to be such a role model for those topics?
Cool.
If there is
That's a big
such a
question. That's a big question.
thing.
As I said before, we have large projects, and the solar panels are indeed one of them. But we also have a lot of heat cold storages that are big projects. Whole areas are heated and cooled without using natural gas. And our guests, they don't see that. But it's behind the scenes, it's back of the house, and that are huge projects. But they are very much, back of the house. And we have one thing that was this year, and I find that a very special project because it's very complex. We have our locomotive, and it's a steam locomotive, and it's very old. It's more than 100 years old, and we want to contain it. Of remain the locomotive, and now we given it given it an electric engine, and that is a very complex question we asked to the supplier because we can buy a new locomotive, just an electric one. But no, we want to rebuild the old one and give it an electric engine. And we're still facing some problems there because it's not working all the time as we would like. But we will remain trying because it's very important for us. But that's probably some project that is very much inside of our guests. I mean, they can see it. It's our product. But they won't, and I think that's very special, they won't notice it because we make sure that the sound of the locomotive and the smell of the locomotive, that it will stay the same. So people have no idea that's electric or that is with the steam. So I think that's pretty big, huge for us. And the second locomotive probably will be built with an electric engine next year. But that's the way that I think we're trying to make little steps. Very big step behind the scenes, back of the house, and small steps within our product.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that those discussions about having now an electrical steam engine powered locomotive, there were some fans who were emotional and said, ah, it's not the same. But what I do appreciate is that you said, well, we want to maintain the experience, but make it as sustainable as possible. I mean, that's the solution, isn't it? And also part of our industry. We want to have the experience of something, but it doesn't have to be noticed at what something different.
No, and that's all about staying relevant. Because what if rules change in Holland and the government says, okay, the steam locomotives, no go. Then we lose our locomotive. And that is not what that's not what we want, and that's what the guests want. The fans don't want that. So now we try to be ahead and give it an electric engine. So we can remain the locomotive, but not because we have to, because we want to keep it for the future.
Yeah, for the next generation.
I think that's the difference, I guess. Yeah, for the next generation.
When we come back to the staff members, what I find sometimes difficult, you mentioned that, motivate your team, make them aware that those topics are relevant and that everybody is putting all those puzzle pieces together for the bigger picture. How do you support your staff members to have that awareness inside your park?
Yeah, I learned here at Efteling that it's all about a lack of knowledge and a lack of inspiration. So I think we focus on those two very much. Just inspire with examples, other examples from other countries or from other organizations, and just showing what can be done. Just inspire and facilitate. And we have a training and some things just to get the right knowledge, because people often think, oh, sustainability, I don't know, I don't have a clue what's that about. That's complex. That's not for me. But if you just explain them what, for example, ESG is or what scope 1-3 is, if people have the knowledge, they can think what the effect can be or what the impact is that they can make with their work or with their projects. So inspire and make sure that you have some things to facilitate getting everybody the knowledge of sustainability.
Okay, and like what kind of forms and shapes can that be? I mean, do you have like trainings, workshops, or how do you facilitate all those?
Yeah, maybe an example is we have a kind of e-learning. It's about how you can say some words, some Efteling words, with, I don't know how to call it, when you're deaf. You're speaking with your hands. I don't know the English word for it. And we had an e-learning for that. So you can say 1-3 sentences like, welcome at Efteling. What's the first attraction you're going to today? Simple sentences. And we provide an e-learning, and that can help our coworkers to speak with their hands. So little deaf children or just deaf guests they can talk to, and they feel participate and feel included. It's just a little example of how you can train or facilitate people to make a little step and to contribute. So e-learning, some videos, it has all a kind of shapes and forms, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And if you're looking back, I mean, you said you are there for 12 years now?
16.
16, I'm sorry, 16 years. That's a pretty long time.
I know.
But you're doing something right, so you wouldn't be there anymore if that your job wasn't important or you're not satisfied with it. In those years, is there any learnings that you would say that was your biggest learning, especially when it comes to communication in those topics, especially within your corporations?
Yes, I think one of the learnings is that you can't only tell the world about the successes you have. You have to tell them about the challenges you have, the worries you have. And it's more about stakeholder engagement than before. Maybe before we said it's about stakeholder management, tell the world what you do and show them what you do and feel the connection. But I think it's very much more work to engage the stakeholders, doing it together, because sustainability is something you really do together. We have to work together with all kind of the government, colleagues, everybody. We have to work together. So making the step from stakeholder management to stakeholder engagement is, by me, a very important change. And also, we do not want only to tell the world about the successes we have. That's tempting. And I think we do that as we talk about our products, and that's perfect. But if we talk about sustainability or other corporate subjects, I think we have to learn how to communicate about the things that we don't have a solution about, or things that we don't know yet how to solve, and the worries we have. Because nowadays there isn't no attraction at all where some people in a wheelchair can go into with their wheelchair. And I think that's a topic that we cannot solve alone. We have to combine every knowledge we have to create that kind of attraction so all people can participate. And that's not a success story yet, but it can be if we work together, I guess.
Yeah. One last question about the inclusion part, because I'm finding it very interesting that there are solutions, but not every leisure or attractions operator is aware of that topic. I mean, when I was there, inclusion means also not for people with special needs, or I don't know, old people or even young people. My daughter is 2.5 now. When I was at Efteling last year, there was so much to do because there was such a huge offering of attractions and activities. But also, of course, you have to, when it comes to special needs, it's getting technical that you have, I don't know, something like an appliance to move people from A to B or lift them up. You are doing it. Other theme park operators are not doing it. So what I'm finding interesting is, and asking myself, are they afraid of inclusion, or is it like a lack of understanding what inclusion maybe means?
Maybe both. And you have to put some time and effort in it, some money. So that is not too, is of course can be affecting a decision whether you will or not create inclusive attractions. For us, it's very simple. We want everybody to include, and we still have a lot of issues to solve about them, but we want to take little steps. And the first step we have, I think it's an important step, is our facility card. But it's also the communication. And we learned from people with a disability that communication and getting the right information before you visit an attraction park is crucial.
Yeah.
So videos on your website on how you get in and out of an attraction is so important for this target group. But it is relatively simple. You don't have to adjust the attraction. You just give the right information. And those things. We don't know it by ourselves. We have experts and we have a lot of contact with people who have the disability, because it's very important to look at your own product if you don't have a disability. So you have to have the experience of people who tell us what to do. And we work a lot together with experts and people with disabilities to help us with that topic, because it is different. It is difficult. I mean, it is very difficult. But
and
information.
Yeah.
Is key. Good information is key.
Absolutely. And if you don't have the information, or if you don't know what the need is, then you gave us the solution already. Speak with those people who are affected by that.
Yes, because if they don't have the information, they don't have the right information about your park. It doesn't have to be all perfect information. I mean, you don't have to be 100% inclusive for everybody. Okay, that can be an ambition for the future, but give the right information about how it is now. Otherwise, they won't come visit your park anymore, because it is crucial for people to know what they can and cannot do in your park.
Absolutely. Last thing, if you could give the industry one big, I don't know, like... offered on a silver plate, there's not the solution, but maybe there is one thing where you say this is encouraging why you should be more inclusive and more sustainability. What would you give those operators or to the industry?
I think there's a profitable side upon that, because if you are very inclusive, then more people will come to your park. And I think the fact, I don't know for sure, but I thought in every company that visits Efteling, and with company I mean like friend group or family, one out of five groups has one people within the group with a disability. So every fifth group has one person that maybe cannot join the rest of the group with all the rights or with all the, I don't know. I think that's a lot of people. So
yeah.
It can be very profitable if you be inclusive for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's also about sustainability, because we have guests that come here, elder guests, for just taking a walk, sitting on the terrace, have a little drink, looking at the nature, at the water. I think your target group can only be larger if you focus on sustainability and being inclusive.
Absolutely true. And I believe that those groups are often forgotten in planning new attractions or areas or even whole theme parks. So I hope...
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I hope this your input gives us a little bit more push, opens our eyes, gives us a little bit more awareness that those people are... On one point, of course, paying guests and visitors who leave money in our parks, but also
yes,
they will spend a nice day at our attractions. Even it's a small park, but if you can't participate by watching your grandchildren having the best time of their lives on a roller coaster or joining a nice dinner together, I think that's a lot of value for money at the end of the day.
Yes, that's for sure. So it can be profitable, I guess. That's
Femke,
the tip.
I absolutely appreciate your time. Thank you very much for sharing all your insights you have within your department. I find it so encouraging that Efteling and your teams and your departments are taking the step to have one special department just for taking focus on that. So thank you very much for your time. And I wish you
Thank
all
you
the
for
best
having
for
me.
your big vision, and across fingers, maybe in the next 5 years we speak us again and see like a completely transformed the Efteling.
Who knows? Maybe.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I hope this was interesting for you. I did learn a lot during this interview, and it really opened my eyes again of how much is Efteling involved in having all people participate in the experiences, designing the customer journey, having at least almost everybody considered having inside their theme parks attractions or in their resort. So I hope you really enjoyed it. If you want to learn more about the Efteling, just go on their website efteling.nl and just read about it, because they are very open about all those things, all those progressive themes they are working on, and they are very public about it. So just hop on the internet and have a look. And if you want to learn more about me, or if you have any comments, suggestions or requests, just write me an email, contact@stefanburian.com. stefanburian.com is my website as well. And if you want to hit me with a DM, just look for myself at LinkedIn or visit @howtofreizeitpark on Instagram. Thanks for listening and have a fantastic time.